very short book, only 14 verses. And through our series, we have discussed false teachers multiple times through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Time and time again, John brought it up about to be aware of false teachers. And this morning, John writes, and he introduces here in 3rd John, and he introduces us to three church members by name here in 3rd John. And there are three different men with three different personalities, just like that we have here at Bradford this morning. And we're all different to some degree. And we have some things in common, some things not in common. So we're going to see that today. And that's how he closes out his three books that he wrote. So we'll see that today. And bottom line is how these three personalities reacted to godly teaching. Because he's been talking about false teachers. And so he has three men that he closes the series out with, and what their reaction was to godly, biblical teaching. So just let's look at their names real quick, and then we'll get started this morning. But look with me in verse number 1. You'll have the first name, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Verse 9, we'll introduce the second man, the second personality. I wrote into the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have preeminence among them, receiveth us not. And then in verse 12 is the third personality, third church member that's listed here. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. And so we have three different names mentioned here, three different personalities mentioned here in 14 verses. So there's not a lot said about them. And so we'll try to cover and introduce them in a little more detail if we can this morning as we look at these three men. Now, first we have Gaius in verse number 1. I don't know that I've ever met a male named Gaius. Cheryl and I have a good friend. Some of you might know William and Gaius Blackburn. Now, Brother Williams is an evangelist out of Haven Heights Baptist Church, and they live here in Fort Smith. And so his wife is named Gaius, and him and Cheryl, her and Cheryl's been great friends, and William's been great friends. And so, but here it's a male's name, it's a man's name, it's a man's personality we're going to kind of uncover. And so we're introduced to a man here in verse 1, 3 John. His name is Gaius. And just without even hardly going anywhere in deep study here, we learn right there in verse 1 that Gaius was a godly man, a generous man, a gracious man, a Christian man. And so we see that right off the bat. And so that'd be a great bio to tell about us, or a resume to tell about us, or some words said about us, that we were generous and gracious and Christian. And that's what we see about Gaius. Now, let me give you a little background on what was taking place in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We've probably mentioned it before, but we'll just kind of relive it real quick just to be reminded and updated. When a new church was started in this era, was planted, was established by the apostles, then this was during the early days of church, the early days of Christianity, so that kind of took place. You can see it through the book of Acts and other books. Then it tells us what happened. As a matter of fact, look at verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came in and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. So what it's saying there is the early days of Christianity, the early days of new churches being planted, early days of churches getting their start, then John is teaching here that when a new work began, when a new work had new ministries, when a church was a new mission opportunity for the sending church, for the mother church, when these new churches started all over the place in Asia Minor, they were without leadership sometimes. They didn't have a pastor. They didn't have a staff. An evangelist or a missionary would come in, and a group of people would be in this section of town or this section of the area where there wasn't a lot going on,
And so they would just form a church.
But then they had no leadership. They had nobody there to conduct the services. And so they would have to go back to the sending church, where John, here, the writer, the author, the human author, he pastored the church, and they would go back to him, and John would send someone out of congregation to go to be a help, to be an asset, to go be a fill-in, to go be a teacher. Okay, so just trying to get the background picture here for you. And so they had no leadership, no teachers, no pastors, no staff in cases. And so they would have to find somebody that could come in and help them and fill in and teach and preach and conduct services. Okay, so now we're on the same page. We kind of get to where they're going. So the new work, the new ministry, the new mission, the new church start, the new church plant, really all interchangeable terms, but whatever you want to call it, the new work had a point person that oversaw that work, and that point person was the contact person to try to get someone to fill in. Okay, so we get that. So the two parties, the point person and the contact person, could meet, and they could get acquainted, they could discuss details, be on the same page, okay? So that's pretty important. And so all this took place, according to Scripture, in 80 or 90 A.D., long time ago. And in 80, 90 A.D., there was no hotels. There was no motels. They didn't exist. And so you have a church plant over here that needs somebody over there to come and teach for us, preach for us, help us, encourage us, and they have to come into that area, and there's really no place to stay. You can't call and get a reservation. And so what the whole third John's about is that we're introduced to Gaius in verse 1, and Gaius was one of the guys from the main church that would simply meet people, and then he would line up people to where they could stay with. They could be put up for the day, for the night, for the week, that kind of stuff, okay? And so Gaius had mentioned that that's what he did. He had done it when they started their church, and so now he's kind of the point person to help someone and then to give them the details of what would be expected. So we kind of understand that. Now, however, so they would just talk about what the church's needs was, you know, what the demographics were, what their cultural backgrounds were, so they could get the guy on the page on what he could simply help them with while he was there as a guest, and maybe a stranger to them, but as a guest that was invited. And so they would talk about truth and church and salvation and all the things of local church. The responsibility of the church leader that's heading up the church plant, the new church, the new mission, their position was to have someone in the church that would volunteer and be the welcoming committee to the stranger, to the guest, to the fill-in person coming in to be a blessing to their church. So that's all their job was. And so their job would be like a Gaius. You have a heartbeat for a local church. You have a heartbeat for missions. You have a heartbeat for anybody that was willing to come and help our church and encourage our church and be a blessing to our church. And so Gaius had all that. And so they wanted to get somebody there that when the stranger, guest, fill-in person that came there, that they would meet, the first person they would meet from the church is somebody that would give a Christ-like greeting, but also would show and demonstrate hospitality. As a matter of fact, look at verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers. And so John's writing to Gaius and mentioning Gaius and saying, that's what you've done. You've done it faithfully. You was there when people came, and man, you was the face of our church congregation.
You was the voice, the mouthpiece of our congregation. You welcomed them. You shook hands with them. Hey, you simply encouraged them. You thanked them for coming on behalf of the local church. Thank you for coming here. And the Bible says, John wrote about Gaius and said he was faithful. You've been faithful to what you do to both the members in the church and the strangers that come to the church. The Greek word for hospitality is not, well, let's just grab some chips and some hot sauce and let's all come over for Monday night football. Now, there's probably nothing wrong with that. But that's not the definition of what they're using here for hospitality. No, biblical hospitality. You ready? Here goes. Biblical hospitality was loving others enough to open your heart, open your home, and sharing time and resources that you had they didn't have. That's just hospitality. So John seems to acknowledge Gaius here in 3 John as one of his spiritual children that did that. Look at verse 4, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. I use it many times. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now in context, John is saying that verse like, I love Gaius. And he's a spiritual son to me. Probably Gaius, probably John led him to the Lord. We don't know. But he's talking to him in terms that he's his son. And so we can kind of like see that. But that's what he's saying. I have no greater joy. And hey, as a dad of two people, as a dad of a son and daughter, I have no greater joy than someone says, your son, your daughter, your children walk in truth. Meaning they walk in the gospel truth. And I think that you would probably agree with that, that what greater compliment could you get as a parent or a grandparent, like me as a parent, get that you're that when I'm not around, when I'm not seeing, when I'm not observing, someone else comes to you and say, I also want to tell you about your son, I want to tell you about your daughter, I want to tell you about your children, I want to tell you about your grandchildren, that, man, they walk in truth. And that's exactly what he's saying there. He was a man that was blessed. Now, a couple things about Gaius. He was balanced. John writes, Gaius walks in truth. What John writes about this man. So Gaius was a man of character. He was growing spiritually in the Lord. In other words, he had a balance in his life. Gaius built his life on God's word. He stayed strong through persecution. We've been talking about 1 and 2 John, where they was persecuted, where false teachers came in. And people took sides. And so we see that here's a man, Gaius, who was simply lifted up because of his character, his integrity, because of his life that lived. He was balanced. He was strong through persecution. He was strong through false teaching that came their way. He showed a true spiritual balance in his life. He walked in two areas. He walked in truth and walked in love. One thing to know the truth, it's another thing to walk in the truth in love. And so we talked about that in our opening statement with the golden rule. Simple to hear it, sometimes not so simple to do it, to walk in love. So Gaius was balanced. Number two, Gaius was a faithful man. Verse 5 says, thou doest faithfully unto the brethren. Again, propping him up and giving him kudos. Giving him accolades for, John writes, that thou doest faithfully unto the brethren. Meaning he was faithful to what he believed and how he lived his life. It'd be a great compliment to get. Hey, can I just tell you, church family? We too, you and I, us, all of us, we too ought to be faithful in our belief and our behavior. Let people see it. Let people brag. Let people say there's something different about this. Let people see it for themselves that we walk in truth. Not just when we're around the preacher, not just when we're around the church folks, not when we're just around the inner circle or the leadership. No, no, no. Let them see it. That's what he's saying. The balance. Gaius, a man that you could depend on. Gaius, a man that you could trust in. Gaius, a man that didn't do double talk. He says the same thing to your face that he'd say to someone behind your back. He would just say it. He no double talk. He was a man of character. You could depend on him. You could trust in him. If he said something, you could count on it. Gaius was an asset. Gaius was valuable to the church. Gaius was valuable to the community. And Gaius was valuable to Christ. As a matter of fact, verse 8 kind of sums it up about Gaius. It says, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. He closes out about Gaius saying that, like, hey, Gaius has all this going for him. That's the kind of example we need. That's the one we ought to look at. That's our spiritual mature brother in Christ. And we can follow that example and be fellow helpers of strangers or guests that come our way. Open our hearts. Open our doors. Open our homes of hospitality to those needed. Fellow helpers. Then in verse 3, in verse number 9, we have the second thing. So we have Gaius, number 2, now we have Diotrephes. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have preeminence among them, receiveth us. So, two men in 9 verses in the last book written by John, 3 John, we already have a contrast between the two men. Gaius is good and honest, and Diotrephes is bad and evil, both in the church. As good as Gaius is, Diotrephes is that bad. That much contrast. As much as we hold Gaius up here as our example, we would hold Diotrephes down here as like, that's the example you don't follow. Both of them in the same church. Both of them, according to Bible scholars, probably both members of the same church, different personalities. You see, Diotrephes didn't do what Gaius. He didn't have a balanced, faithful, growing spirituality to be a mature Christian in Christ. Now, he was very quick to spout off and say stuff and probably say stuff he shouldn't say. We'll see that as we uncover his plot. John calls him out, and he opens words, verse 9. Let's finish that verse. I wrote unto you the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us. Now, remember, we're talking about strangers. We're talking about guest speakers. We're talking about people that could be a blessing to a church plant, a new church start, a new mission work somewhere, where they come in, and Diotrephes didn't want to have anything to do with it. You see, the first problem we see with Diotrephes that was so different than Gaius is he had what we call must-be-first syndrome. All about him. Oh, we live in that world today about a lot of people. It's all about me, myself, and I. It's all about what's in it for me. That's Diotrephes. It says it right there. He wants to have preeminence. And so that was the difference between him and Gaius right off the bat. The Diotrephes of the world, you ready? Here we go. They want to push their way to the front of the line. They don't care how long someone else has been staying in here. They don't care about anything. They want to push themselves to the front of the line. It's about them. And the Diotrephes of the world will do what this Diotrephes did, and they will do whatever it takes to get in the driver's seat of whatever they're involved in. Oh, let me give you an example. How many of you, like me, going to Walmart, going to the mall, going to the restaurant, and you see that parking place, man, it's a good parking place. I mean, it's right there. And so you do what you do to maneuver to get there. Because that's your parking place. You see it. And so you're going there and you're driving there. And out of nowhere, you're going right to that that you spotted 5 seconds ago, but someone else must have spotted it too. And now, out of nowhere, they show up and beat you and park in that space instead. And you, like me, we lose our space. We lose our position. We lose our place. Our space, our place, and our position. Now, maybe I'm talking to you guys, you're all quiet this morning. Maybe I'm talking to you, and you're a whole lot more spiritual than I am when that happened. I'm just telling you, okay? Because it riles the fire out of me. Because in my mind, you probably don't think this way, but in my mind, I'm thinking like, who do they think they are? That was my spot. That was my place. I saw it first. And by the way, I'm important. And on top of that, I'm in a hurry. That's Diotrephes. Yeah. Now, see, we kind of get close to home. As a matter of fact, look at verse 10, the next verse. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. Man, this Diotrephes. That word praying is a word we don't ever use now, but in those days, it means he will talk foolishly against us with malicious words. He don't like what you do or I do, or he don't like something the church does, or he don't like something that the work does, or he don't like something that the neighborhood does. Then he will simply speak up and he will be verbal. And he'll be loud, and he'll get attention, and he'll talk foolishly against whoever has come up with that idea. And what his ideas matter was the Diotrephes right there. The Diotrephes is the kind of guy that would catch you going down the hall of the church, going out the door of the building, and he'd say, hey, come here, just need a minute of your time. You got a minute? Oh, yeah. And so the Diotrephes of the world will take a minute of your time and, oh, thank you for your time. I'm sorry to be a bearer of bad news. But you know so-and-so in the church? Yeah, I know that. Well, I'm sorry to tell you this, but they've been involved in something. And they begin to tell them what they were involved with. Slander and that person. Bad mouth in that person, belittling that person. And so, hey, you got a minute? Yeah. And they begin to do that. And then guess what happens? They go like, now, this is all confidential. And while they send the brother along his way saying it's confidential, Diotrephes is going to find another person. Hey, you got a minute? He's going to tell them and them and them and them. And get this stuff started. That's what it says. He's praying. He's talking foolishly against us with malicious words. Nonsensical gossip that was empty lies. And John's telling us this in 3 John. He's talking about 3 men. Gaius, now Diotrephes, and what a contrast. See, Diotrephes, they join the long list of those who rise to power in a local church. They're ambitious. They're powerful. They got themselves in mind. They want to be the leader. They want to be the voice. They want to be the decision maker. And it normally never ends well. In my former life. So, in my former life, I was in pharmacology, sold medicine for 17 years. So I was the guy that went to the doctor's office and we educate doctors on medicine for their patients. So most generally, for 17 years, I got promoted a couple of times. And so probably the last 8 to 10 years of that career, then I was up in upper management and I worked with, I was a regional manager and I worked with managers who worked with reps and that kind of thing. And so for the last 8 to 10 years of that career, I'd leave Monday morning, fly out somewhere on Monday mornings, and come back on Thursday afternoons. I'd have an office day on Friday. That was just my life. So I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm in an airport. I'm ready to board to go back to Oklahoma, back home. And I'm sitting there in line, which I've done many, many times, and somebody cuts the line. Now, that probably wouldn't bother you, but I'm sitting there, and somebody cuts the line while I'm there. I've been a long week, and there's a lot of stuff going on, and I'm ready to get home, and I want to catch my flight. And so I see someone cut the line. And I'm just standing there watching them when two ladies behind me begin to talk amongst themselves, and I can't help but hear. And I'm trying to hear. I'm just telling you. I'm just trying to hear. And these two ladies, they saw what I saw. And they started discussing amongst themselves. Look, did you see that? That's not fair. That's not right. They shouldn't be allowed to do that. Now, I'm just hearing what they're saying, but I'm not. And I'm going like, they're not talking to me, but I'm going like, no, it ain't fair. It's not right. They shouldn't be able to do it. When out of nowhere, one of those two blue hairs tapped me on the shoulder. But I'm shaking my head like, I'm with you. They tapped me on the shoulder. I said, can I help you? They go, if you was any type of man at all. You would let him by with that. Can I just tell you, when someone gets in your space, they take your spot. They take your position. The atrophy kicks in. They said, you didn't even have a man. So I've got to man up now. I just got to man up. I don't want to do it, but I mean, these two ladies are putting pressure on me, and I'm going like, so I tap the guy in front of me, the fellow in front of me on the shoulder. He looks around. Don't get ahead of me there. He looks around. Did I help you? I said, excuse me, what's going on up there? Well, he taps the guy in front of him and says, hey, this guy wants to talk to you back here. He looked at me and he said, can I help you with something? He's a big old dude. I turned as white as white cottage cheese. Can I just tell you? Like, this guy's like, I don't even know what to say. He reaches in his pocket and pulls out an Air Marshal badge. I'm in Phoenix. I want to get back to Eastern Oklahoma. I'm going to fly to Fort Smith. I'm going like, man, this is like, what's going on here? And he says, look, he said, I'm here to get on a plane and make sure no one causes any trouble. He's looking right at me like I'm a troublemaker. I want to say, look, it's them two. It's them two. That's what I want to say. The atrophies never see a line they won't break, they won't cut. They love preeminence. They want to be first. They want to be in charge. They want to be in control. They want to make the final decisions. So we have the AS, we have the atrophies. Real quick, double seconds. Verse 11. Here's what it says about him. Let me close out with him. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. So he was evil. Gaius was good. And John said, follow good, not evil. And then our third man is mentioned in verse 12. His personality is different. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Wow, what a great way to end this third John. Demetrius. A man of good reputation. He was a guy that wasn't a flip-flopper. He'd just say one thing this week and something next week. He was of good reputation to all men concerning the truth. He was a man that wasn't wishy-washy. Didn't change his story. Didn't add to his story. Didn't take from his story. Didn't deny what he said. No, he wasn't a flip-flopper. He wasn't a wishy-washy guy. Hey, he was a guy that wasn't half-hearted. He understood what he believed and why he believed it. And his reputation spoke for itself. You can depend on him. He was the same way to your face as he was to everybody else's face. Demetrius. I love what Psalm 22 says. It says, a good name is better than great riches, silver and gold. You see, Diotrephes looked at others, and he put others before himself. That's the kind of Christianity that works. See, letting people see that we, our actions speak for ourselves. Diotrephes, his character was so strong that no accusation would stick to him because people said, oh, no, we know him. That's not something he would do. You can't get me in a huddle. You can't get me on a one-on-one and try to say something about him. No, we know him. He's been consistent. He's a man that has a good reputation concerning all truth. In other words, he was a man that was, in biblical terms, was above reproach. A godly man grounded in truth. So we have three personalities of three different men in this one church. Gaius was gracious and generous and godly. Diotrephes was troublemaker because he wants to be first and he wants to be in charge and he wants to be in control. And then we have Demetrius, who was consistent in truth, consistent Christian. Now let me close here. John, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, as we close the series, repeats important truth throughout the three books. Number one, truth must be spoken, John has taught us. Number two, rebuke must be given to people that stretch truth or change truth or redefine truth. Number three, crimes must be punished. We talked about it here. We got to call these people out. They're false. They're false teachers. They're false preachers and prophets. Number four, sinful behavior must be confronted. I don't like confrontation. You probably don't like confrontation. But there's times when you've got to simply pony up, cowboy up, man up, and simply like say, hey, we have a disagreement about this and we need to get to the bottom of it. And so, hey, we need to like confront it. Number five, troublemakers must be dealt with. You can't just let one troublemaker run the whole group, run the whole church like we have here. Wolves in sheep's clothing must be exposed. Exactly what Jesus said. Exactly what we've warned by what Paul and Peter and Jude, that people come in under false pretense. And John, along with Jesus, taught, sometimes you have to say things others don't want to hear. Sometimes you just got to love people and tell the truth. What he's saying. Not there to get an arm wrestling match, a tug of war. I'm stronger than you are. I'm tougher than you are. I've got more people on my side than you are. No, none of that. It's just confronted with the truth. And the truth is always can set you free. So Spratly Baptist Church is not perfect. I'm not perfect. I know you. You're not perfect. And so we find a perfect church. None of us could join it or we would ruin it. Mm-hmm. Because we're not perfect. However, here's what the church is. Not perfect. But the church is the perfect place for imperfect people like this pastor to worship a perfect Savior. And that's God's mandate. That's God's blueprint. And that's what we're seeing in John 3. It's different people, different personalities, with different ideas. And John will handle it, because he did. So let me close with this. John says, don't follow evil, follow good. Our lives, our convictions, our behavior can be molded with those who we follow, with those who we're friends with, and those who we fellowship with. They can be molded. If you're around the right people, great. If you're around the wrong people, not so great. It's our choice. Our lives, convictions, behavior can be molded with good friends, good fellowship, and those we follow. When people think of us, when people think of me and you, when they think of us, do they think of me as selfless or selfless or selfish? Do they think of you as selfless or selfish? Are we Demetrius? Are we have some of that. Do we have it? To the point we're selfish and we want to be up here or first or called on or whatever. Does people think of me and you? Do they think of us as a giver or a getter? Do we want, or do we give? Do they think of us as someone that wants to be first? Or do they see us as somebody that just takes it? It's okay to be last. That's Third John. That's three men with three persons. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Wow, John just lays it out there. He calls it what it is. So my question to you is, where do you fit? Are you open to the loving heart and loving hospitality to others that have needs? You're generous and a giver. Just to help the work of the Lord and to be part of the cause of the great kingdom of God? Are you a Demetrius and you want to be first or be part of or have to be here or there? Or you just got that mature spirituality as a male or a female, as a man or a woman, and you just got it over years of just being in church and being in Sunday school and learning a truth. And you're a person someone can come to you because they realize that you're spiritually mature. They want to follow in fellowship and be friends with you. Where are you? Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. We thank you, Lord, that you use John as your human author to write your inspired word. And Lord, we're grateful for that truth today. We pray you bless, speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stay here. Well, Ruben's going to lead us in an invitation. If we can help you, pray with you. Anyway,
so Jesus is calling for you and for me. See of the portal, he's waiting and watching for you and for me. One should be believing Jesus. Waiting for you and for me. Why should we lean on his mercy for you and for me? Life is healthy.
Thank you. just a second.